Blog Talk Radio. My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there's more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I predestined you before the world began to do my will. To do my seek my face. He says, seek my face. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice, hear my voice, hear my voice. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher. So much more. So much more. So let your heart and soul say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey y'all, it's me, Key, and I'm getting ready to worship quarantine style with some family and friends. Anisha, are you there?
Hey.
Tyrone, are you there?
Good.
Drea, Shelby, are you there? Marcus Johnson, Mark J, are you in the building or what? At home? Shalita, are you there? Adia, are you there?
Hey, Kiara.
Tony, Uncle Snoop, Paris. What about Brooks? You there? Deshaun Jones, are you there? And now, my beloved sister, Tasha Cobb-Leonard, are you there? Were you there, darling? Okay, here we go. Something has to break in your life. We're in this together, so we're worshiping and making it fun. Here we are.
Break, tear down everything.
right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break. Hey, right now in your name. Something has to break. Oh, I believe you'll get me to it. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has
just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone.
Thank you.
I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
I lift my hand in total adoration unto you.
Come on, say it. You reign on the throne.
You reign on the throne, for you are God.
Amen. Amen. First, we want to God, who's the head of my life. Welcome, welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection Women's Day Thursday. Whoop, whoop. I'm super excited. I'm always excited when the Lord has us to come on here and deliver a word to his people. It's not about me. It's not about Chief Apostle. It's all about God and glorifying him. The scripture for this morning is Psalms 29 and 11. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace. Psalms 29 and 11, the Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace. Father God, I wish you to come on the show this morning. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Speak to your people on today, Father God. Let them have the ear to hear your word on today, Father God. And we'll continue to bless and guide you and give you thanks, Father God. Touch all those ones that are in bereavement, the ones that's in the hospital, the homeless, Father God, the ones that's incarcerated, Father God, the ones that just don't know who you are. Pull them over this way, Father God, so our light can shine in their darkness to let them know that you are still right there with them, that you never left them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Come on in. God has a word on this morning for you. Get your pen and paper together to hear what the speaker of the hour will have to say. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be right back. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer. Wait a minute. I forgot to give a shout-out to the country. You know I can't do that. Did we get a shout-out to some of the countries that's listening in? The United States, of course, Canada, Brazil, Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, North Africa, South Korea, Paris, Italy, and the list go on, Canada, Romania. We know that you can't openly praise God, but check this out. We are praying and interceding for you. You're not in this fight by yourself. Let me say this again. You're not in this fight by yourself. Keep your armor on. Sunday I preach having two swords, and let me tell you why. You are doubled with the word. Continue to follow Jesus. Continue to stand on his word. Remember, he would not force himself on you. His arms is open. He just waits for you to come to him. He does not care about what you did last night, nor this morning. Forgive yourself. Remember, the forgiveness is for you. If somebody hurt you, forgive them. Don't hold on to that. Let that go. God is not the author of confusion. Let that go. If you don't have an opportunity to go talk to them and try to, you know, get a better understanding, it's okay. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to take the anger out of your heart so you could live. Stop dwelling on what happened in your past. Focus on where you are right now, and God will do the rest. Again, remember the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer, know that you're not in this fight by yourself. Keep pushing through.
I was sitting in the kitchen, and I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? I have all these responsibilities, all this going on, and it seems like I'm doing everything I can for you, and everything is just going opposite. Anybody ever been there where it seems like you were doing all you knew to do, and still you took 2 steps forward, and you took 5 steps back, and you're saying, God, what in the world is going on? And I was sitting in my kitchen, and I didn't understand it. And then these words came. I said, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try. So good.
Lift your voice. Come on, tell them today.
You so good to me.
Let's go right here. Everybody lift up your voice.
Lord, you are good. You've been so good.
Come on, say, Lord, you are good.
Good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough.
It's because I owe you, Jesus.
I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough.
Somebody say, even if I tried,
if
it wouldn't work. Good to me.
So many ways.
I was sitting over the dishes with tears in my eyes. And I had to declare out of the hard place that you've still been better. I can never repay you, Lord. I can never repay you, Lord. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you loose my shackles, and how you set me free. How you made a way when there was no way. How you made a way when there was no way. How you made a way, Shepherd, when there was no way, oh God. You made a way, 'cause you've been so good. Come on, lift it up. You've been so good. Oh. Right there, right there. Let them hear your heart in that tonight. You've been so good. When I almost lost my mind, you've been so good. When the enemy came in like a flood, you've been so good. Everybody lift your voice and say, so good.
Doing this place. God told me that I'm going to send some people into the room who've been sitting on something they need to be carrying. It'll make sense if we get to the message. But I hear God saying that I'm sending some ideas and some businesses and some books that somebody's been sitting on. Somebody's been sitting on it. They've been laying on it. And I want them to know that it's time for them to start carrying it instead of sitting on what God gave them. It hit me like a ton of bricks when I was studying. I'm going to get into the text. It'll make sense, and we'll get there, and we'll pray, and we'll go home. John 5 and 6. This is not an unfamiliar text, but I saw something when I was studying that I think is going to speak to where we are. And it begins, it says, when Jesus saw him is this man who has been paralyzed and sitting by the pool at Bethesda. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus says to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. That's important because that means in order to heal him that Jesus broke some rules. And that's important because he shouldn't be carrying anything on the Sabbath. But when God calls you to start carrying what you have been sitting on, it doesn't matter what the rules and the boundaries think about it. It says, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them and he said, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. In other words, I don't have to have authority that you understand, because Jesus said something to me that overrules anything that you could say. But Father, I am asking that you would continue to sit in this room. Great God that you are. You are living water. And when we drink from your well, Father, we never thirst again. God, we need a sip from your well. Somebody came in tired. We need a sip from your well. Somebody came in broken. We need a sip from your well. And Father, when we sip from that well, victory is our inheritance. And so, Father, we declare victory in this room. Because when you are in the room, there is no lack. God, I'm asking that you would meet every need, that you would identify every crack, and that with your spirit you would fill us until we have been made whole, ready to pick up our beds and walk. As for me, Father, you can have complete control. If you want to change this message and change this text, you can do just that, because I am here to serve you so that these people can be made well. So let there be no fear, no anxiety, no being in my head, just your spirit, your strength, your power standing tall in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I can remember when I was growing up and I thought that I was like grown when I turned 18. And because that's what the law says legally at 18, you're an adult. What I didn't know is that you're not really an adult until you pay bills. And I mean all of them, not that one little Nokia bill so that you can continue to play Snake on your phone. You pay all of your bills. And I didn't really understand that fully until I moved out on my own and rent kept coming up short, you know, because I didn't have everything that you needed to have to stay there all of the time. And I can remember, I remember the last time I asked my mother for money, because she hit me with one of those country sayings. And she said, only a fool buys what they want and begs for what they need. Call me a fool, your child. Yeah, she said, only a fool buys what they want and begs for what they need. And it was from that moment forward that my paradigm shifted on want versus need. Because if you are not careful, you will think that something you want is actually something you need. And you have to qualify your wants versus your needs. Do I really need that? Is it going to sustain my life? Is it going to make me better in any capacity? Does it get me closer to my destiny, or do I just want it? And until we are willing to sacrifice what we want so that we can have what we need, we will always find ourselves stuck between where we are and where we could be. Because there are moments in life that simply require that you sacrifice what you want. When we find this man at the pool laying, waiting to be healed, he has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? He says back to him, I need someone to take me over to the pool, this notion of want versus need. I love this because as I was reading the text, it dawned on me that he had lost sight of what he really needed because he didn't have what he wanted. Yeah, because what he needed was to be made whole, but because he didn't have what he wanted, he thought that he lost access to what he needed. And I think that that is something that we have to be willing to really dissect in our lives as we determine the path to success and wholeness and purpose and ultimately building the kingdom is, am I keeping God regulated to what I think I need in order for me to achieve what he said was down on the inside of me? This man who's laying by the pool thinks he needs another person to get it. The only way I can have access is if another person gives it to me. But what Jesus says in exchange is so beautiful, and we're going to get into that. But you can be so blinded by what you think you need that you don't even recognize that the presence is carrying the very thing you're asking for. Because he's standing in front of a man who could give him exactly what he ultimately wants, but because he thinks he needs it in a different package, he misses the opportunity altogether. God, help me. That's why we got to seek the kingdom. That's why we got to be in the presence, because when I'm in the presence, God really qualifies what I want. He qualifies what I need. If you can't bring it into the presence, then you got to leave it where you found it, because it's in the presence that I can determine whether or not this is legitimate. He goes, you don't really need someone to put you into the pool. You really want someone to do it. God, I'm going to read it the way I wrote it in my notes, because I believe that so many of us lose sight of what we need. And when this text began, Jesus asked the man what seems like an obvious question, but the truth is when you lose sight of what you need, you don't always have an answer to the obvious question. Should I go? Should I stay? Should I take the job? Should I not take the job? Somewhere along the way, he lost sight of what he needed. And so Jesus comes to expand the picture to remind him, oh, I feel that for somebody. Somebody needs to be reminded of what it is that you were really after when you came into this city. Somebody needs to be reminded of what it was really after when you got into that marriage, because when you get here, you can start discrediting your dream and you can start discrediting what you think you need. But God comes and he expands the picture so that he can remind you the whole reason why you're lying here in the first place is because you told me that you wanted to be made well. You didn't tell me that you needed a man. You didn't tell me that you needed $1 million. You got around a bunch of other sick people who were laying by the pool and started thinking that the only way you could do it is if they could help you. But God came to told me, if no one else picks you up and takes you by this pool, if no one else sees the gift that I placed down on the inside of you, and all you do is have an encounter with me, that is more than enough. I hear God saying, you've been looking for love in all of the wrong places. I got everything you need standing right in front of you. Standing right in front of me. God, remind me why I got into this in the first place. God, remind me why I thought my art mattered in the first place. God, remind me why I thought this was my purpose in the first place. God, remind me why I dragged myself here and got this close. Didn't need anybody. I just wanted to be made whole. Man, that is when you can really trust that what you want and what you need can be trusted, is when it's what Jesus wants to. Yeah, because the man wanted to be made whole. Ultimately, that's what he wanted, but he thought he needed someone to do it. But when he has this encounter with Jesus, it reminds him to get back on the same page so that what I want and what Jesus wants can be the same thing. Sometimes I have to take a moment to myself and I have to ask myself, did you want that, or does you and Jesus want that? Because if you want it, then you can't ask God to bless it. But if it is what you and Jesus want, then no weapon formed against you prosper. And then every tongue that rises up against you, he will condemn, because me and Jesus want the same thing. When me and Jesus started wanting the same thing, my life started changing, because I was moving in the direction not of what I wanted, but what would build his kingdom. I showed myself trustworthy when I started doing that thing that he wanted too. So as I'm studying and I'm praying and I'm looking at this text, I realize how nuanced this situation is because Jesus comes up to him, and a lot of the stories that we see in the Bible, we see someone calling out for Jesus to be made whole and to be healed, but Jesus approaches him. And he was waiting for a moment when the water would be stirred up and he would have someone who would carry him. That means the water needed to be stirred up and he needed someone to carry him at the same time. He was waiting for this moment when everything lined up. And while he was waiting for a moment, God brought a moment to him. It was such a sign to me that you think that it has to happen a certain way, but God says, when you're ready for the healing that I have for you, when what you want aligns with what I want, then I will bring the moment to you. I will bring the opportunity to you. I will bring the idea to you when it aligns with what I want to do in the earth. The moment is coming to you. The moment is coming to you. That's why you have to stay where you are. That's why you have to keep your heart posture correct. That's why you have to make sure that you're maintaining what you want. Because when the moment comes, you got to be able to identify that this is a moment. This is not just a regular encounter. This is an opportunity that could propel me into the next dimension of what God wants to do in my life. This moment is important because not only is it the moment in which the man will be made whole, but it's also the moment that is going to set up Jesus having a sermon with the Jews. So he couldn't just pick any regular person for this moment. He needed someone that would set it off. Yeah, he had a plan. He really wanted to make the Jews question what happened so that they would have an encounter with Jesus. So when Jesus has this moment with the man who's laying by the pool, he has the ultimate desire to give him what he wants so that he can get what he needs. Sometimes Jesus gives you what you want so that he can get you to where you need to be. Gotta say this the way I feel it. When I was studying, I was trying to understand what made this moment so powerful. Jesus needed something that would grab the Jews' attention. So he goes by this pool where there are a lot of sick people, and he has the intention of doing a miracle. But he couldn't just choose anybody. He needed someone who had something to carry as a sign of the miracle. Could have healed a blind man, but the blind man didn't have a bed to carry. He could have healed a deaf man, but the deaf man didn't have a bed to carry. He needed to heal the paralyzed man because this paralyzed man would then be walking around with this bed that he used to lie on. And if he was going to break the rule and bless him so that he could set something off in the city, he needed someone who he could bless that it would be so ridiculous and so crazy that the man who had been laying there for 38 years was now carrying the thing that he used to lay on. He needed someone who was going to set something off in the city. I can't just pick anybody for this miracle. If that's your word, I want you to grab it. God wants to do something down on the inside of you that he can't just use anybody for, because he's trying to set something off in this city. He's trying to set something off in this industry. He's trying to set something off that makes hell nervous. And I need to use somebody who's going to pick up something that they were laying on. I'm going to pick up that gift that I've been sleeping on. I'm going to pick up that business that I've been sleeping on. You've been telling me for years that it was time for me to get my life together, but now I had an encounter with you and I'm ready to pick up that very thing that I was laying on. He let that man sit there and he waited. And he waited, and he waited to be healed. But he had to wait for a long time so that when God spoke that word, when Jesus spoke that word and said, rise up and take your bed and walk, that he would not ask him any more questions. That man picked up that bed. He said, you don't have to tell me twice. I think that that's what God is looking for in this season. I'm looking for somebody who I don't have to repeat myself, that when I say, rise up your bed and walk, that you'll carry that bed, that you'll carry that music, that you'll carry that business. Don't ask me any questions. I let you get desperate enough that you wouldn't ask me twice. You don't
don't have to tell me twice. You don't have to tell me twice, because I've been sitting here waiting for other people to get healed. I've been sitting here waiting for somebody to carry me. I've been sitting here waiting for somebody to pick me up. And if you tell me that I can pick up this bed and walk, don't play with me, Jesus, because I will pick up this bed. I'll pick up this ministry. I'll pick up this marriage, and I'll walk with it like a sign that the very thing that you somebody who was tired of waiting. He needed somebody who was tired of watching everyone else get their breakthrough while they just sit down waiting on somebody to carry them. I'm sorry they couldn't carry you, but then again, I'm not sorry at the same time, because it made you desperate for a word from God. It made you desperate to pick up your bed and walk. My subject for tonight is carry it. Carry it. Carry it. Carry it. This is a prophetic word. This word isn't for everybody. This is a word for somebody that's been sitting on something that God told you to release a long time ago. I don't expect for everyone to get happy. I just need that person who's been lying on that gift, who's been lying on that bed. God, you told me when you sent me to this city that there was something in this city for me. I hear God saying it's time for you to carry that thing that I gave you. Because the timing is coming. The timing is coming. He had to do it on the Sabbath because it would break a rule. But he also did it on the Sabbath because the man would stand out on the Sabbath for carrying the bed. He wouldn't have stood out if he did it on Monday. He wouldn't have stood out if he did it on Tuesday. It would have looked weird, but he wouldn't have stood out. But God set the stage for him to stand out with that thing. God set the stage so that it would look ridiculous for him to be walking with this thing. He set the stage so that he could break the rules. He set the stage so that he could break the rule. I want you to know that I'm setting the stage right now. I'm just waiting on the Sabbath. I'm just waiting on the day that it doesn't make any sense for you to be healed, so that everyone can see that I broke the rules to get you that healing. I broke the rules to get you that breakthrough. Somebody in this room ought to be in jail. Somebody, don't play with me. I know who's in here. Somebody in this room ought to be dead and in their grave. But I broke the rules to get you here. Take up your bed. Take up your bed and walk. Take up that thing that you've been sitting on. That gift, that talent, that pursuit of wholeness, that breakup, that addiction, that something you've been sitting on that you need to be carrying, because you've been waiting for somebody to see you. The man who was laying by the pool ultimately says, I'm waiting on somebody to see me. Because if somebody sees me, maybe they'll help me. Jesus said, if you see yourself right, if you see yourself the way that I see you, you wouldn't need anybody to see you. I'm going to say that again until it gets somebody in the back. If you see yourself the way I see you, you wouldn't need anybody else to see you, because you would realize that me and you could partner and we could do some things in the earth. Jesus was getting ready to set Jerusalem on fire. And I know we're not in the Bible days, but this is important because we're at Activate LA. And I don't know who's watching. Maybe you're activating Chicago. Maybe you're activating Denver. But I came to let you know that Jesus is ready to set something off in the spirit realm again. And he's looking for somebody who he won't have to tell twice. He's looking for somebody who's not waiting for somebody to see them. They're just waiting for the word. I'm looking for a sound. I'm looking for the sound that says, take up your bed and walk. I think that's what tonight's message is supposed to be about. This is a sound for somebody. Maybe I should have called it sounding the alarm, because I wanted somebody to know that he's ready for you now, that he's ready for you to take up your bed and walk, that he's ready for you to start carrying a sign of his glory. Because that's what the lame man ends up carrying, is glory. The kind of glory you can only receive after you've been sitting somewhere paralyzed. Paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed by anxiety. Paralyzed by abandonment issues. I've been paralyzed for too long. But if he would have been healed the way that he wanted to be healed, he wouldn't have been in position for Jesus to use him the way that he needed to use him to set that thing off in the city. So he let him wait, and he let him get desperate enough to try Jesus. I got to try something that I never thought that I would have to try, because I'm that desperate for my healing. I don't know who you are, but I wanted to let you know that you don't have to be paralyzed any longer. I wanted to let you know that you don't have to be stuck just because no one would carry you. That it's too much pressure to put on one person to be your friend and your savior, to be your lover and your savior. I'm sorry that you've been paralyzed by what happened to you. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I just want you to know that just because no one sees that you're paralyzed doesn't mean that you cannot be healed from this paralysis. You can be healed from this. But you got to remember that it was never about someone carrying you, and it was always about whether or not you wanted to be made whole. You may never get that apology. They may never understand the damage that happened to you. They may never understand that you sat there and you waited for them to come fix what happened. But that's okay, because that doesn't mean that we're staying there. Because one encounter with God can expand your perspective. And it can make you realize that I didn't need you to carry me. And I didn't need someone to take me to the pool, that God would bring a miracle to me. For somebody, this is not just a Thursday night service. This is God bringing that word to them. I'll bring the moment to you. I wasn't searching for Jesus when I found him. I just opened my eyes and I realized that he was there. I wasn't searching for a ministry. I just opened my eyes and a ministry was there. I wasn't searching for anything. But I could not see what was there until I gave up this notion of someone carrying me, someone fixing me, someone making me feel better, someone healing what was broken down on the inside of me, someone giving me some attention. When I let that go and I said, maybe I'm enough by myself.
when I let that go and I said, at the end of the day, I thought I needed a person, but what I really need more than anything is to be made whole. I just want to be made whole. But it takes you sitting there, paralyzed, watching the world move on around you, to make you finally say within yourself, I'll try Jesus. I'll try your way. I'll stop sitting on this thing, and I'll try to pick up my bed and walk. He got desperate. I don't know, man. This is not the structure that I wanted the message to have. But I really do feel that for somebody, that God wants to give you your legs back, that he wants to give you your creativity back. What does it mean to try Jesus? It means to think the highest thought. It means to believe that when he got on that cross, that he gave you another option. It means that there's really healing that is available to you. It means that I'm going to start acting the way that he acts instead of acting the way my circumstance made me act. I want to start a new path. I want to think differently. I'm tired of being depressed. Jesus, what would you say about this situation? Jesus, what would you say about this industry? I'm tired of being paralyzed. God, speak a word about my situation. I hear God saying, forgive. I hear God saying, you can still walk. But when you walk, I love this because it stands to reason. I think any doctor would agree that after being paralyzed for so long, his legs were probably too weak to stand up himself. But when he's told to stand up, he's also told to carry this bed, which means that God trusted the strength that he would have when he stood up, that it wouldn't just be him carrying himself, but that he could handle some weight. I feel that prophetically for somebody. When you get back up, you won't be stumbling. I feel the presence of God in this place. Somebody thinks that they can walk again, but they're afraid to stumble. I want to prophesy in this room. When you get back up again, you will not stumble. I know it's been on again and off again, but that season is over. I rebuke the enemy and every thought that he's ever placed in your mind that made you think you'll always be who you used to be. I speak the blood of Jesus over your life. When he steps into a room, he closes doors that no man can open, and he opens doors that no man can shut. You're not just getting up again. I'm going to put some weight on you. I'm going to let you carry something. I'm going to trust you with weight. I'm going to trust you with influence. I'm going to trust you with that marriage. I'm going to trust you with that family. I'm going to put some weight down on the inside of you. God sees you. He sees you. If you're here and you just have been paralyzed, you know you're gifted. You know you have purpose. You know that there's something bigger and better for you, but I'm paralyzed by fear. I'm paralyzed by failure. And I can't move. The moment I try to move, I get flooded with these thoughts and ideas that I'm not going to make it. Can you meet me down here at the altar? But don't just come. Bring your bed with you. Because when you come down to this altar, you're not going back the same way you went. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. This is a sign. I'm going to see a victory. not going to be lost, not going to be afraid. I prophesy this over my life. I'm making a declaration. I'm going to get my mind back. I'm going to get my strength back. I want my legs back. I want my confidence back. Yeah. So when the paralyzed man and Jesus came into alignment about what he really needed and what he really wanted, it gave space for that miracle to take place. I think that when we don't know the steps to how God's going to do something, that we just have to come into agreement that he's going to do it. So when we sing that song, that I'm going to see a victory, there's somebody who's thinking, well, I don't really know how that's going to happen because I don't really have the resources and I haven't had the job. We're not talking about the practical. We're not talking about the logistics of it. We're talking about what's going to happen when it's all said and done. Because I am a child of the Most High God. And when God set me down in this earth, it was not so that I can lose. So I come into agreement with what he says. I come into agreement with who he says I am. I'm going to see a victory in my marriage. I'm going to see a victory in my business. I don't know how he's going to do it, and it's none of my business. I want you to think of that thing that you need victory in. And I want you to tell that thing. Don't just sing a song, tell that thing. Now do me a favor and sing it on behalf of the person beside you.
Yes, God. It's time for us to pick up our bed and walk. Yes, we've been going through hell. Yes, it's chaos been going on everywhere. Yes, it's been rough. Yes, you still got to push through even though you didn't do anything wrong. Yes, you have to forgive. Yes, you have to move on. Pick your bed up and walk. No, it's not going to be easy, but it will be well worth it. God trusts you to pick your bed up and walk. Everybody say do sinner's prayer. I get that. But trust me, I do. But on World Gospel Connection, we do the Overcomer Scripture. And Romans 10:9 states that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God doesn't think you're perfect or want you to feel that you're perfect. He knows. He knows before you even think about it and do it. He knows what you're capable of. But hearing him and will, all he requires is a yes, surrendering to him. Not saying it's going to get easier overnight, absolutely not. But it will get better one day at a time. God gives his strongest soldiers the hardest battles. Hear me well. You know I quote this scripture all the time. Many are called, but a few are chosen. Those chosen ones are the ones that go through chaos and hell on a daily basis. But God gives us the equipment to read and study and pray and lay out to him. Now I'm saying when you come over to this side, now hear me, it's not going to be easy. The enemy is going to be mad. He lost one of his teammates. Absolutely, he's going to be mad. But let me tell you what you have on this side, the love of God. People praying for you, interceding for you, pushing you, helping you go in the right direction. The enemy had you thinking all is well, that you could ride the fence. No, sweetheart, the Lord is on his way back. I know we heard it all growing up. The Lord is on his way back. But hear me well. He is on his way back. Are you prepared or will you be left behind? Riding the fence is over. Living on me, mom, big mom, and granny prayers is over. You must establish a relationship with the Lord for yourself. You must establish that intimacy time with just you and him. Block everything out. Block everybody out and spend time with our Father. If you have to put your headphones on or sit in your car or go in the closet, spend time with him. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can show you who you truly are. Now, welcome. You surrender your life to Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited for you. What you receive on this side from Chief Apostle and myself, we will pray, intercede, push, help, birth out what's in you. I'm going to give you three keys. One is get you a Bible. Whether it's King James or NIV, get you a Bible. Two, find your church home. Whether you go online or you go in, find your church home. You're welcome to join the Ob House International online or in person. We're a no-judgment church. You don't have to be in a suit, dressed with stockings. You can come in some jeans, tennis shoes, flip-flops, as long as you're presentable. And we will pray in love on you. And three, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is preaching and walking the same thing. Hear me well. This must line up when you become a new creature. The Bible says when you become a new creature, old things are passed away. Don't worry about what you did back then. God already hung on Calvary for you and I. He already shed his blood. You don't have to shed yours. It's going to be a fight, absolutely. I say this all the time. You don't have to know all 66 books of the Bible, but start somewhere and let the Lord guide you. Let the word download in your mind and in your heart. Remember, the heart and mind must connect. Those three keys are get you a Bible, and this King James or NIV, find your church home where you go online or in person. You're definitely welcome to join us at the Abba House at 6705 Haight Street, Houston, Texas, 77028, or online on Facebook, Abba House. And three, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is preaching and walking the same thing. This is very critical because you surrender your life to Christ. We're not here to judge you. We're not here to talk about you. But what we will do on World Gospel Connection and the Ob House is pray for you. We're a deliverance church. We don't mind getting on the floor. It doesn't matter. Clothes doesn't make us. God made us. We are serious about you knowing who you are and whose you are. We are serious about letting you know that God loves you. We're just a bunch of nobodies trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. We're not trying to judge you, but we don't want you to get left behind. We want you to have a relationship with the Lord for yourself. We will pray for you all day long, absolutely. But you need to establish a relationship with just you and God and watch what he do for you. You can't be a generation destroyer if you're not standing on the word of God. Not breaker. When I was a baby, she said, not breaker, Mom. I'm not a generation breaker. I'm a generation destroyer. And I stand on that with her. I'm a generational destroyer. Hi, I'm going to talk about Kishima, Apostle Kishima, Prophetess Kishima. So you can say save and sit in the church, as Chief Apostle say. I'm going to talk about me. I'm not afraid of who I am and whose I am. I love the Lord with all of my heart. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I worship and honor him and thank him during the day, not just once a day or every couple of days. I thank him for waking me up this morning, putting my feet on solid ground. I'm above the dirt and not underneath. Don't get beside yourself. You think you're all holy and thou that you can't be touched. No, 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 sweetheart. Remember God's faithful servant Job? Nobody is untouchable. But I want you to know, just try Jesus. Try the Lord for yourself. Somebody's depending on you to get it right so they can get themselves right. What you went through is necessary, sweetheart. But know this, that God always has your back. It might not look like it sometimes. It might not feel like it sometimes. But he always has your back. The Bible says the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. His word doesn't return back void. That's one check you can take to the bank and cash. But I'm telling you to link up with somebody that's going to help you birth out what's in you. It's a process, sweetheart. It's not easy at all, but it's well worth it. Know that God loves you. So do we. We're a phone call away if you need us. You can reach us at 346-419-2529. Or Worldwide Gospel Connection on Facebook. And say, Apostle, I just need prayer. Not a problem. You can join us on Bible study every Friday if you're free. It's Jesus Bible study. We're just on there interceding. You can come on Bible study every Friday at 7 p.m. at 848-777-4670. The number to Bible study is 848-777-4670. Just tune in and watch the Lord move for you. I hope you guys was blessed on today. I know it was something short, but it was sweet, and it was right on time. Remember, we love you, and we're always a phone call away. Don't you ever give up. Hold your head up, stick your chest out, and adjust your armor because it's fighting time. Be that generation destroyer that your family is dependent on you to do. They might not say it, but hear me from experience. You are the generation breaker. Stand up, woman of God. Stand up, man of God. Adjust your armor. Adjust, bring that second sword on, the word of God, so you can strike double. The enemy's not playing fair, so why should you? Tune in Monday for Man Up Monday with Chief Apostle Donnell Douglas Sr. at 563-999-3628 on Monday. And know that we are a call away. Have a blessed and phenomenal day.
Not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before, through a window or an open door. come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you. Needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more. The truest friend I have indeed, you're my best friend I know in need.
Not another.